This podcast was made on Gubbi Gubbi country. I acknowledge the traditional ancestors and custodians of this land and pay my respect to elders past, present and emerging. Radio Vet Nurses brought to you by Vetoquinol and Vet Complaints Support. Hi and welcome to Radio Vet Nurse Registered. I'm Kat Walker. For those of you that have listened to my podcast in the past, welcome back. It's so good to be here with you again. If you missed my last podcast mini-series, you might want to take 30 minutes to listen to episode 1 of Radio Vet Nurse Interrupted. It will explain why this episode sounds different to the original Radio Vet Nurse show, and for first-time listeners, it will bring you up to speed on my story. It's been nearly 2 years since the launch of Interrupted, and that series has clocked almost 8,000 downloads. There are so many other topics that I think are worth peeling open in an Interrupted-style podcast series, which is how this Registered mini-series came about. I'm going to take a deep dive into the topic of registration for vet nurses and technicians in Australia and the road to professionalisation. I decided to focus on this topic first because there's no doubt in my mind that a national and mandatory registration framework for vet nurses and technicians is key to tackling multiple industry challenges. I really think this is the issue that underpins so many. I'm aware that it's an issue that causes anxiety for some people, so we're going to look at why people are for it, why some might be against it, and hopefully provide some reassurance that it's going to be set up in such a way that people with anxieties don't have to be worried. A lot's happened in the 2 years since Interrupted, so let me fill in some of the gaps before we get stuck into Registered. It's no secret that I've seen firsthand the mental health consequences of exposure to veterinary industry pressures and psychosocial hazards. In the Interrupted series, I talk about how I wasn't sure I could stay working in VetMed after the trauma I witnessed and experienced. I love this industry though, and I'm not going anywhere. The reason I can stay is because I've promised myself that I'll use my trauma for good. I'm determined to build a career around helping other people navigate these mental health and workplace risks. Now, it's one thing to talk that talk, but I've got to walk that walk too. I'm a single mum with two young kids and a mortgage. The only person putting food on the table and paying for the roof over our heads is me. So it was pretty scary for me last year when I quit my job as the vet nurse manager of an emergency hospital and walked away from my guaranteed income. I used my savings to take some time off and retrain as a nationally accredited mediator and conflict coach. I've merged my skills as a lawyer, vet nurse, clinic owner and manager, and started working for myself again. I'm helping veterinary businesses and professionals navigate conflict, which is one of the leading causes of poor mental health in veterinary teams. Productive conflict is a teachable skill and results in the best outcomes for teams, patients, and the business. I'm back at uni too, studying for my graduate certificate in mental health and neuroscience. So happy to report I'm doing not one, but two of the things I swore I would never do again. After selling my vet clinic, I said, I will never have my own business again. And after finishing my grad dip in legal practice to work as a lawyer, I said, I will never study at uni again. And yet, here we are. You should never say never. My interest in mental health in the veterinary industry is what gave me the push to get back into study, and one of my subjects is focused on understanding and preventing suicide. It goes without saying that the more people armed with these skills and knowledge in our industry, the better. I'm also learning about other mental health and substance use disorders at uni. And for reasons that will be obvious if you've listened to the Interrupted series, I'm grateful for the opportunity to take an academic approach to things I've seen firsthand. I'm also grateful to be learning evidence-based theory about post-traumatic stress disorder, having now been through that myself. I'm happy to say that I'm doing well and that it feels good to be working for myself again and studying. I've been itching to get back into recording and producing podcasts. Drop the movement. Long-time listeners will know that I've always had a particular interest in advocating for the advancement of vet nurses and technicians. I can honestly say that the vet nurses and vet techs that I've had the pleasure of meeting form a big proportion of the best people I have ever met. There is just something about you guys that I have such admiration and respect for. I'm proud to be a veterinary nurse, and I want better for us. Better paid, better recognized, better utilized, better career progression. So much could and should be better. Vet nurse and vet tech registration is a hot topic at the moment in Australia and abroad, but it's not easy to understand the legal and regulatory frameworks and how they impact what we can and can't do as vet nurses and techs. Even for me as a lawyer, it's confusing, so I think it's worth breaking it down. As you probably know, in Australia, we have the federal and state governments. Actually, it's technically 6 states and 2 territories, each with their own constitution, parliament, government, and laws. The federal government deals with things of national interest, like international trade and defence. The states deal with anything that's not a national matter. Legal regulation of the veterinary industry comes under both federal and state categories. For example, the federal government deals with national animal health matters like quarantine, export and trade, and international disease reporting. State and territory governments deal with things happening within their own boundaries, like disease surveillance, livestock identification and tracing, animal welfare, and the regulation of veterinary surgeons. In order to practice as a vet in Australia, you have to be registered with the local state or territory veterinary registration board. Most of the legal and regulatory framework for veterinary medicine is state-based. So, what does that mean? Well, it means we have 8 different sets of rules. Each of the 6 states and 2 territories has its own veterinary legislation consisting of an act and a regulation. Think of the act as the broad stroke guidelines and principles, with the finer details being fleshed out in the subordinate regulation. An example of the state-based management of our industry concerns is last year's New South Wales parliamentary inquiry into the veterinary workforce shortage. It was a huge milestone and, even though restricted to New South Wales, has the potential to influence other states and territories. The Australasian Veterinary Boards Council, the AVBC, made a submission to the inquiry which nicely summarises the issues with having state-based veterinary regulation. I'm going to read from that submission, which I'll link in the show notes, starting from the section titled Harmonisation of Veterinary Legislation. Here we go. The 8 veterinary regulatory systems in Australia present several challenges, including varying scopes and requirements across jurisdictions. This inconsistency can be a barrier to workforce mobility and hinder emergency animal disease responses. Given the evolving landscape marked by rapid technological advancements, increased population mobility, globalization, and effects of climate change, there is a growing need for uniform national veterinary legislation that empowers innovation in the veterinary sector, allows new and better ways to regulate, as well as supporting regulation of additional allied veterinary professions so that the sector is future-proofed. Okay, so in that quote, when the AVBC talks about supporting the regulation of additional allied veterinary professions so that the sector is future-proofed, this includes vet nurse and technician registration. Western Australia is currently the only state with a legal mandate for vet nurse registration, a statutory code of conduct, and the requirement to maintain currency and fitness to practice. Other than Western Australia, state veterinary legislation doesn't define what a veterinary nurse is. My understanding of how a national vet nurse and vet tech registration framework might come about is that the state-based veterinary legislation would need to be amended to define a veterinary nurse or technician as something like a person with suitable qualifications who is registered with an independent national body. This would then allow for a consistent regulatory framework across state and territory jurisdictions via the independent national body. Survey data from 2022 shows overwhelming industry support for mandatory vet nurse and vet tech registration, sitting at about 88% in favour. But it's still important to unpack this topic for anyone who's feeling scared or uncertain, which is a completely natural reaction. Both of my parents were school teachers, so I grew up in a house that was very pro-union. Now, we need to put a pin in that word, union, and be clear that vet nurse registration doesn't mean joining a union. We'll come back to that in a minute when we clarify some definitions, but for now, I mention it just to say that growing up in a pro-union house no doubt primed me to believe that the source of our power lies in coming together under a united purpose. I recognize and respect that there are other views too. Not everyone is on board with registration, and in this series, we'll look at some of the reasons for this. For example, some people might be anxious that their skills and experience won't be recognized, either because their qualification is very old, or they've been practicing for 20-odd years without ever having quite finished their qualification. We'll look at how other industries have managed this issue by grandfathering people across so that they're not left out. It's also understandable that some people might feel anxious about the cost of registration and continuing professional development. It's important that concerns like this are heard, and I don't want to push a one-sided view that registration will only be good. But I'm also hoping to allay some of these concerns and explain why I think that progression towards professionalization via registration is the key to us having the best careers possible. I'll also explain where the VNCA and the AVNAT registration scheme sits in relation to this. More on that after this short break. Radio Vet Nurse is brought to you by Vetoquinol and Vet Complaints Support. Vetoquinol has been the number one sponsor of Radio Vet Nurse since 2019. In the Registered series, we're considering how mandatory vet nurse registration could be a game changer. Vetoquinol has just launched its own game changer, Felpreva. It's a groundbreaking new parasite treatment designed specifically for cats. It's convenient and easy to use, providing all-in-one parasite cover with the longest-lasting flea and paralysis tick protection available in a single dose. So while Vetoquinol is busy revolutionizing parasite protection for cats with Felpreva, let's look towards our own revolution with a national and mandatory vet nurse and technician registration framework. Support for Radio Vet Nurse comes from Vet Complaints Support, or VCS. Working in our industry can be hard on our mental health. One of the biggest hazards is exposure to challenging client interactions and conflict, usually around finances and expectations. VCS works in partnership with clinics to minimize the harm of these interactions on team members. Subscribing clinics outsource the handling of client complaints and concerns to VCS and receive support, guidance, and benchmarking data to reduce their client conflict risk profile. Head to vetcomplaints.com to see how you can delegate client complaints and concerns to the team at VCS so that your team can spend less time worrying about one-star Google reviews and more time providing five-star patient care. The Veterinary Nurses Council of Australia, or VNCA, is our not-for-profit professional association that promotes the interests of veterinary nursing. Since 2019, we've also had national voluntary registration under a professional body known as the Australian Veterinary Nurse and Technician Registration Scheme, or AVNAT. Not everyone wants to be a VNCA member or registered with the AVNAT scheme, and that's okay. But I'll be chatting with some guests about why it can be really beneficial for nurses and techs to be engaged with our national association and why we need as many of us to become voluntarily registered with the AVNAT scheme as possible. I'll dig further into this over the series, but at the heart of it is the belief that it's only in coming together that we have the power to improve our careers. I mentioned that we need to come back to the word union and some other definitions. Neither the VNCA or AVNAT is a union. The parallel that I'm pointing to is just that for unions to be strong and effective, it's also a numbers game. They need the collective power of as many members as possible. Sometimes the VNCA is mistaken for a union, which can cause confusion and affect people's expectations. A union is the organized means for workers to lobby for better working conditions and salaries. So if the VNCA is not a union, why not? And what is it? When it was first established, the VNCA had the option of becoming either a union or a representative organisation. If they established themselves as a union, member money would have had to go towards employing industrial relations experts, which would have made membership fees a lot higher. As a representative organisation, the VNCA committees could be run by vet nurses and technicians without needing to employ industrial relations experts. Being a union would have also limited the VNCA to considering employment issues only. So the VNCA chose to become a representative organisation, not a union, to keep membership fees down and be able to provide non-employment focused things too, like conferences, seminars, merchandise, the Australian Veterinary Nurses Journal, and to be able to have relationships with other industry organisations. Despite not being a union, employment is still a big focus, and industrial relations support is available through the Members Workplace Helpline, which I have used and been super impressed with more than once. Now that we know what the VNCA is and what a union is, what the hell is AVNAT, right? Okay. AVNAT stands for Australian Veterinary Nurse and Technician, and the AVNAT registration scheme was created by the VNCA and launched in 2019. The VNCA has taken the position that unqualified and unregulated veterinary staff potentially expose the public and animal patients to harm and increase liability for veterinary practices. In response to that risk, the AVNAT registration scheme is the transparent self-regulation program setting the minimum standards of professional practice for veterinary nurses and technicians who are involved in clinical, management, or academic areas. We can think of AVNAT as a professional body that advocates for the professionalism of veterinary nurses and technicians. And let's put a pin in the word professionalism because we'll define and unpack that soon too. I know this episode is heavy with definitions and theory, but we need to be across these inner workings in order to really peel open and form an opinion on the topic. Registration won't be an overnight, get registered or you're out of a job scenario. There'll be a period of transition and ways to grandfather people who might have tons of experience but are not sure if they have the right pieces of paper. We're going to talk to some of the people who know more about this than anyone else and look at why we might want to achieve professional status through registration. We'll also look at how this could actually impact vet nurses and techs from day to day. We need to start with a review of the current status of vet nurse and vet tech registration in Australia. We've touched on how Western Australia is leading the charge as the only state or territory with a mandatory registration scheme and the only state with a minimum qualification requirement to be employed as a veterinary nurse. Veterinary nurses and techs in Western Australia have to be registered with the Veterinary Practice Board of Western Australia. The Western Australian Veterinary Practice Regulations provide prescribed duties and acts of veterinary medicine that may be performed by veterinary nurses, whereas other states have to interpret nursing duties by looking at what is defined as an act of veterinary science that can only be performed by vets and assuming that, well, I guess everything else is okay for nurses to do, right? The lack of clearly prescribed duties results in a huge variety of what nurses and techs are doing from clinic to clinic in the other seven states and territories. When it comes to the current status of vet nurse and vet tech regulation for states other than Western Australia, I am a little out of my depth. So I asked for the help of Gary Fitzgerald, Jasmine Pengelly, and Trish Clark. Here's Gary Fitzgerald, the current VNCA president. If you want to hear more about Gary's impressive career and love of wildlife, you can scroll back through my podcast episodes and find my interview with him back in 2019.
My name is Gary Fitzgerald. I am the current VNCA president, but I am a qualified veterinary technician from UQ and back in 2006, and I also hold a Certificate 4 in veterinary nursing as well. A couple of my roles is I have previously sat on the Queensland Division Committee, and also I'm currently the Vet Tech Representative on the AVNAT Committee, and I've been on the as a Director for the VNCA for 1 year and then 1 year as President currently.
Here's Jasmine Pengelly. Jazz was also a guest on Radio Vet Nurse, recorded in 2019 and released while I was on maternity leave in 2020. Listen back if you want to hear more about how she started as a vet nurse at age 11 and still loves coming to work.
My name is Jasmine Pengelly and I am a registered veterinary nurse. I've been a member of the Veterinary Nurses Council for a really, really long time. I'm still a practicing veterinary nurse and I'm also a trainer and assessor of veterinary nurses. My main involvement with regulation is, well, to begin with, was getting AVNAT off the ground, the Australian Veterinary Nurse and Technician Registration Scheme, as chair of the Professional Advancement Committee, was involved heavily in getting that off the ground, which was really exciting. I've also been a member of the National Industry Advisory Group for far too long now, actually, possibly about 15 years. And I've not too long ago, a couple of years ago, stepped off the board after a few years as president there, the board of the VNCA. I'm also currently on a subcommittee of the Australasian Veterinary Boards Council, which is called the Sustainable Practice Committee. And that committee was set up a couple of years ago to look at a few different areas relating to veterinary practice and hopefully keeping things ticking over for the future. And one of those areas was regulation of veterinary nurses. So that's been a really exciting journey over the last 2 years as well.
And finally, here's Dr. Trish Clark. Trish won't tell you this, but she's regarded as the mother of veterinary technology.
She is definitely the mother of veterinary technology at UQ, that's for sure.
Trish is a vet who's been a tireless advocate for veterinary nurses and technicians throughout her whole career.
My name is Trish Clark and I'm originally a veterinarian. I spent a number of years teaching vocational veterinary nurses in the TAFE system in Queensland. And then I moved on to be the inaugural lecturer and coordinator of the Bachelor, what used to be called the Bachelor of Applied Science Veterinary Technology Specialisation at the University of Queensland in 2003. I have been affiliated with the National Industry Advisory Group for Veterinary Nursing for probably about 10 years, and I'm the immediate past chair. The NIAG, as it's commonly called, is actually the peak industry body overseeing veterinary nurse education in Australia. I am also on the AVNAT, the Australian Veterinary Nurse and Technician Regulatory Council, which is the voluntary registration scheme for veterinary nurses and technicians. So I'm a member of that regulatory council, and I'm also the chair of a fairly new group called Educators for the Veterinary Allied Health Professions in Higher Education. And basically it's just a group of educators from all of the higher education institutions in Australia that deliver either a Bachelor of Veterinary Technology or Bachelor of Veterinary Nursing. But I've had a very, very long-term association with veterinary nurses and veterinary technicians in an educational sense and, you know, on committees.
Now, remember we put a pin in the word professionalism earlier because we need to define and differentiate the terms profession, professionalisation and professionalism. I asked Trish to help me with this.
Yes, I think that's a good idea, Kat. Basically, a profession is made up of a group of individuals, and some of the characteristics of that profession are that they have a high level of education and training in a very specialised area. They usually have a professional body, as does, you know, vet nursing with the Veterinary Nurses Council of Australia. They also have a code of professional conduct or ethics, which the VNCA has as well. And then one of the really hallmark signs of a profession is that they have mandatory registration and regulation. So they're legislated in terms of what they can actually do. And also it means that only those with that particular qualification, for example, when veterinary nursing becomes a profession, those with either possibly a might be a diploma of veterinary nursing by that stage or a Bachelor of Veterinary Technology are the only individuals who are qualified to perform certain procedures similarly to, you know, other professions. So I think they're some of the key characteristics. Professionalisation is the process of an occupation. So you could say at this stage that veterinary nursing is an occupation, a professionalising occupation. It's on the pathway to becoming a fully fledged profession. It has a professional body, it has a code of ethics, it has specialised training, but at this point it hasn't attained the registration, mandatory registration and regulation. And those two points are really the key hallmarks of being a fully fledged profession. And this is why they're so important that, you know, they be achieved for the veterinary nursing occupation as such. And then the other term, professionalism, which is used, you know, amongst professionals. Professionalism, having professionalism means having or demonstrating a certain set of behaviours. And amongst those behaviours include, and this is sort of integrated into the code of professional conduct or ethics, you know, that vets or vet nurses or vet techs must always be ethical, they must be honest, they must be committed to ongoing professional development and improving themselves in their field. And in that way, it's actually a commitment to excellence, and also incorporated into professionalism are those sort of humanistic or human type characteristics of being empathetic and compassionate. So these are the behaviours that a true professional would be demonstrating and that a code of professional conduct would expect of its members.
The concept of being registered isn't new. The pathway to registration started when the VNCA was established way back in 1995. I asked Jazz to give me a rundown on the road to registration so far.
The pathway to regulation or registration of veterinary nurses began right at the beginning of the VNCA, 1995. And, there's been so many discussions and work going on, and certainly people like Jane Bindloss and Sue Crampton and Helen Power and Sally Boyle all did a tremendous amount of work in the late 90s, sort of early 2000s, pushing this forward and, you know, getting things like a national award for veterinary nurses. The VNCA had massive input into that. It was probably in 2017 that we announced that we were going to launch the Australian Veterinary Nurse and Technician Registration Scheme and go down the pathway of voluntary regulation. And the reason for that was because it's a proven pathway towards mandatory or mandated regulation, and also because we weren't getting anywhere with approaching or trying to have input or change into state acts and things like that, because they change so infrequently. You know, for example, the one in WA has been around since the 60s and it's only just sort of being sorted out now. So it takes a really long time for these things to happen. So the launch of AVNAT occurred 5 years ago this year, which is wild to think about. I can't believe it's been 5 years since we stood up there and said, it's happening. We now have a voluntary registration scheme. But all through those years leading up to it, there's just so many conversations. I think the very first conversation I had about registration was back in about 2009 in the ACT with the current AVA president at the time and a few other VNCA people. And I think we even met with some people from the boards as well to talk about regulation. And, you know, this was such a long time ago now. At the moment, things have progress both faster and slower than we'd like, I think.
The VNCA is working towards the goal of mandatory registration together with the Australasian Veterinary Boards Council, the AVBC, who I mentioned earlier when I read part of their parliamentary submission. Here are some of the motivating factors behind the formalised relationship between the VNCA and the AVBC.
The relationship with AVBC and the VNCA was formalised as well in Rebecca Coventry's presidency year, just before I started. So what we're talking 2023, beginning of 2023, there was a signed memorandum of understanding with AVBC to work together towards the goal of mandatory registration and regulation of veterinary nurses and technicians as well.
Such an exciting development. It's been really lovely to work with them, hasn't it, Gary? To push this forward and you know, have even more people on our side, I think.
And am I right in thinking the pressures or the mitigating factors that led to that were, in COVID times, we had the great resignation globally of multiple professions, and we certainly felt it in the veterinary industry. And am I right in thinking that that's where the AVBC and their sustainable practice group started looking to veterinary nurses, saying, you know, we need to be able to get veterinary nurses to take on some of the workload of vets because we don't have the vets, and what does that look like? Is that sort of how that came about?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Sustainable Practice Committee certainly came out of that. You know, the AVBC had a part of its strategic plan to contribute to the sustainability of veterinary practice in Australia, in Australasia, and Australia and New Zealand. I think that that's really, really important. And regulation of nurses is critical to that success factor for those reasons, Kat, so that they can, you know, that scope of practice is defined, there's role clarity, there's career progression, longevity, hopefully, because it's not just vets that we're struggling for nurses as well. Certainly, you know, you see it everywhere that people are looking for qualified, experienced nurses, and it's they're very hard to come by because, you know, anecdotally, certainly the attrition rate is pretty high, I would say, Gary. Yes. And we've had some data about, you know, people planning to leave the profession, and it's a little scary.
The lifespan of a veterinary nurse is 5 years. Is that right? Is that anecdotal?
It's really hard. And this is what I've struggled facing this year as president, is it's really hard to get that data because there is no registration or regulation. So in theory, if you're a vet and you're registered in a state and you're no longer a registered vet, they have that data on how long you were a registered vet for. So we don't really have that, but we rely on survey data. And it was quite alarming, actually. There's been a number of sort of workforce surveys that either VNCA has put out themselves or collaborated with. And the results have all indicated that quite large percentages of veterinary nurses and technicians are not confident that they will still be in the industry within 5 years. And I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was above 60%, I think, by 5 years, where we're unsure whether they would remain in the industry.
Once you see the traction that we're suddenly getting on a project that's been ticking along for 20 years, driven literally by generations of volunteers, it's clear that it's an exciting time to be a veterinary nurse or technician in Australia. Now that we're across the current status of registration and the road to professionalisation, it's time to talk about why we might want it and what's happening in other parts of the world.
This is how scary it is, and if pet owners were aware, they would be terrified.
So it's really difficult. It's a big conversation. But I don't think we should avoid conversations just because they're big.
There's so much to unpack here, and we're going to be talking about the latest developments, the work happening behind the scenes, and hearing from people who can inspire change in rethinking the regulatory frameworks and the need for a nationally recognised mandatory registration scheme. Thank you for joining me on the Registered series. It feels different to Interrupted already, and yet the same. I made the Interrupted series to inspire change in the veterinary industry by pointing at my own regional vet clinic as a canary in the coal mine. It's such a good saying. Once upon a time, coal miners really did take caged canaries down into the mine tunnels. The miners had shocking workplace hazards, including dangerous gases that at first just caused a headache, but could quickly become fatal. Canaries are much more sensitive to poisonous gases, so the miners learned that if the canary dies, you've got to get out if you want to live. We also have workplace hazards that start with mild symptoms but can quickly become fatal. And I've learned that the only way I can stay in this industry after my experience is by contributing to the protection of our people and pointing at the canaries in the coal mine. Some of the tunnels we're working in are toxic and potentially fatal, and we have to abandon them if we want our people to stay and thrive. Current industry issues like workforce shortages, salary, well-being, and mental health are our canaries in the coal mine. We have to get out of this tunnel and make a new one. I'm convinced that a mandatory registration framework is the new tunnel in which vet nurses and technicians will see improved career longevity, recognition, pay, wellness, and be leveraged and utilised to our full potential. This cleaner air will also benefit our patients and other veterinary team members down in the tunnels with us. But the earth is hard down here, and we can only dig this new tunnel if we come together as a collective. Whether you are a veterinary nurse or a veterinary technician, we have to come together. Thanks for joining me on Radio Vet Nurse Registered. This series may be uncomfortable at times, but I believe that the time to get registered is here, and I thank you for joining me on the journey. I would like to thank Vetakinol and Vet Complaints Support for their sponsorship of the Registered mini-series. Coming up in the next episode, I'll be zooming out and taking a look at why we might want to be registered professionals under a mandatory registration scheme and chatting to some of my friends in the UK and the States. Thank you for joining me.